I'm Martin SFP Bryant, and you're listening to Geek Out Weekly. Every Friday, Matt Navarra and I get together on Twitter Spaces to discuss the week's social media news based on what's in our weekly Geek Out social media newsletter, which also comes out on Fridays. This week, we chewed over Twitter's ideas to tackle abuse, ads in Oculus VR, the pros and cons of letting people scrape data from our social profiles, and lots more. So, now let's go over to Matt to kick things off.
We're going to run through this week's Geek Out newsletter, which I put out every Friday. It went out about an hour or so ago, and it's pinned to this space. So all of the new things, funny things, things that went wrong in social media world or the world of social media managers this week. And we discuss the stories. And if anyone does want to speak about any of these sorts of things or has a different viewpoint or anything, then by all means, jump in, request to speak. Sometimes we get the odd request and then it disappears, and so we don't pull anyone in. And some weeks, I think people just quite like listening in and just tuning in and vegging out because it's the end of the week and they want to relax. So whatever anyone wants to do is fine by us. So shall we get cracking and have a look at some of the stuff that's been going on this week? So let me just bring up this week's newsletter. For some reason, it just decided to shut on me. So first things that I spotted. So the Facebook's going to start rolling out some of its podcast features. So it's been talking about this for a few weeks now, a bit longer, and how you're going to be able to link a page to a podcast RSS feed, and a few other features tying into like this audio sort of renaissance at the moment. So that's going to be out in the US, but I think it's next week. And then the other features that we're waiting for, like their newsletter tools, bulletin, and some other bits and pieces, are going to come out further down the line. Doesn't seem to be any sign of it coming out in Europe just yet, but I don't think it'll be very long. Spotify, I'm talking about audio, have also launched their equivalent of Twitter Spaces or Clubhouse called Green Room. And I only quickly jumped into it earlier on yesterday, and it's remarkably similar to every other kind of audio spaces out there. But I do think it's got a nice little hook. If the fact that you are into doing podcasts and you're already using Anchor to produce a podcast, or you want to build a sort of a podcast recording off the back of doing a kind of live room space like this, for example, then it makes it really easy to do that, because there's a feature in there, I think, which can convert your live space in Green Room to a podcast feed, and then and farm it out, and that could be a very useful tool. But I'm not sure. What do you reckon?
I'm just surprised that, given it's Spotify, they didn't launch with some live chats with musicians, that kind of thing. You'd expect it to be something like that, but I opened the app and it's all exactly the same kind of stuff that is the worst of Clubhouse, like come and chat about blah blah, just the kind of kind of trashy conversations you see in Clubhouse that you think, oh well, fair enough if people like this, almost along the lines of those kind of listen silently and network with everyone, those kind of things that you see on Clubhouse, all those kind of things are all there in Green Room when you first open the app, and it weirdly seems to auto follow 13 people from your account. I tweeted about it earlier, and someone said, did your account auto follow 13 people? I was like,
really?
It did. How bizarre. Yeah. And it adds you to two random groups. I'm like in an NFL group and an NBA group, and I'm like, well, I have no interest in either. So very strange.
Well, yeah, and I think this, the whole issue around discovery stuff around audio is going to be really tricky. And I think that's why people like company like Facebook and others who've got more tech behind it and ready to go will have better ways to kind of identify the topics and things that people want to listen to and place it in the right places for them to discover. So Clubhouse and maybe even Spotify to some degree are going to struggle with this more than maybe Spaces and Facebook's equivalent. So we will soon see. In other news, Facebook group admins, there's some great new updates in the new admin tools update that came out this week. The one that stood out for me was a feature that enables group admins to be able to, well, at the moment you can pin a post to the top as an announcement post, but they don't really do much. Maybe it gives it an algorithmic boost within groups. I don't know, but certainly it doesn't appear to get seen more, because unless you go directly to the group like landing page within the app to sort of navigate through the group in its entirety, which most people don't, you kind of see a post from the group you're in within your normal newsfeed, you don't see those announcement posts. Well, now apparently you're going to be able to, when you select as an admin an announcement post and make it an announcement post, it sends a notification to every group member. So you can imagine if you've got like a podcast or a newsletter or whatever it is you want to promote or a sponsored post or something, and you pin it in the group and it's going to send a notification to, for my group, 25,000 people. That's a pretty powerful tool to be used for marketing. But whether it'll be abused is another question. But some other features, I'm just going to run through the other ones I've found that are in there. There's a new like admin home feature, which makes or simplifies finding all the tools and settings and bits and bobs. And they've upgraded the admin assistant. So there's a lot more auto moderation options you can turn on and sort of modify and control for alerting you to kind of there's a fight kicking off in the comments section on one of the posts and stuff.
That which is useful. That is really useful.
Because at the moment, if there's lots of things that you can do in groups and can cause the group to be flagged and risk, you know, the group admin losing their group or having the group suspended or whatever. And of course, if you approve a post that later, for whatever reason, is rightly or wrongly moderated by Facebook for breaking community rules and stuff, and comments and discussions about things like that, you know, these things you want to be alerted to. So this is another one of those tools that will help you make sure that your group's not going to get itself into trouble, and also just have a healthier kind of community as well and be on top of it, particularly if you've got a busy group and you haven't got many moderators or admins. But there's a whole bunch of other AI kind of features built into all of this stuff to slow down conversations. So on a post that's getting really active and busy with a conversation, it could be, you know, polarizing topic or something, you can just tap as an admin to slow those comments down and limit people to like one every 5 minutes or whatever the kind of, I think there's a time limit limited on there. But there's a whole bunch of other ones. I won't go through them all now, but there's some really useful bits there. It's in the newsletter. It's one of the second or third bullets down there. Twitter Spaces, talking about audio again, is now enabled you to get a recording of hosts only to get a recording of their space. But what this feels like is just a quick like hacky way of doing it, because they haven't built the feature out. Because at the moment, to do this, hosts have to go into their your data section of their of the app or in the, on the desktop, and then request your data. And within there, there's a file which has the audio file. So it feels a bit kind of, you know, basic at the moment, doesn't it? I don't think it's built for purpose, but surely that might change soon enough. And then Instagram has got someone spotted that you've got post level insights. So, you know, when you want to, as a somebody's posted something, you want to know how many, you know, the stats of how the post is performing. Previously, I'm led to believe, because I don't use desktop very much, for Instagram.com anymore, you couldn't get that information there on desktop. But apparently now you can for individual posts, or at least some people can. So what do you make of this, Mark? The ASA decision this week about the naming and shaming of social media influencers. Did you catch this?
Yeah. Good idea. I think so. They're going to set up a website. Lots of website where they will display the names of influencers who have broken the rules, and they'll be up on the website for at least 3 months. And I think that's a good idea, because if they're just going to quietly wrap their knuckles and not tell anyone, then you don't. There's no social kind of pressure to follow the rules. You might just continue kind of just thinking, well, you know, I'll break the rules, and if I get caught, then I'll change my ways. But it's worth the extra, you know, the extra boost I get from not following the rules, you know, not disclosing an ad, rather than worrying too much. If I'm not going to get called out as a bad person by the ASA, then you know, I'll take the hit. But yeah, I think it's a good idea.
I think also the fact is you've got to hit them where it hurts with this sort of stuff. And a celebrity, I think there's, you know, anything where it's going to impact their ego or their image, their brand image, is going to be a nice motivation to do something about something. So, yeah, I think that's a smart move. And I'm surprised it hasn't been done sooner, but I think there's a lot of things we say that for these days. Amazon seems to be blaming Facebook now for its fake reviews problem, or at least it's kind of giving it a nudge towards it. They don't come out and outright say Facebook is the fault, but social media, I think, is the term maybe used. And I think, I can't remember who I read it today. I think it was in Casey Newton's Platformer newsletter, where he says that he's getting used to the basically piss poor PR and sort of tactics and skills of Amazon at the moment, with the way that they're kind of spinning things. And someone else, I think, read somewhere saying like a multi-billion-pound profit organization tech company is complaining about that it's the other tech company with a multi-billion pounds that's causing the problem, rather than spending it money and time just fixing the issue themselves and dealing with that. But there is something in the fact that Facebook and other platforms have these, you know, groups and communities which are there for, you know, generating schemes to kind of get fake reviews and scour them and recruit people to do it and organize themselves and sort of sell that. So yeah, you know, what do you think? Fair reason to kind of lay the blame at social media, or they just get on and fix it?
They need to get on and fix it, don't they? You can't really blame the tools other people use to exploit your own problems. So I think Amazon should fix its own problems before looking too far elsewhere.
I think so. And then there was an article someone flagged to me about this on BBC News around companies, businesses setting themselves up and making a quite good amount of money in this year and probably in the last few years, but particularly this year in sports stars wanting to basically check and clean up their social media image by having their accounts audited and drains up to sort of check for any posts that might come back to haunt them and all that kind of stuff. This is not something that's a new business enterprise, and there are tools that are automated that can help you do it, and free ones and other ones as well, spammy ones. But I think there's more money in it now, and so if you can get the work for someone who's going to spend seemingly quite large amounts of money for effectively what I believe to be for a fairly simple job for a decent social media manager or digital sort of savvy person to go through and check their accounts, and there's a couple of tools that you can use to make it a bit easier, but people are making a lot of money from it. So if you offer social media freelance services, you should add that to your repertoire. And sounds like you can make a bit of money. So some other bits as well. A quick sort of plug about the thing we launched this week, I guess. So we the social media geek out stuff, we've now expanded again to a third newsletter, and we do a third one, which is called The Diary of a Social Media Manager, which is actually written by, for any of you that follows on Instagram and work in social, they said, meme account, perfect for social media managers. The person behind that account is going to be diarizing their daily life as a social media manager each week, starting on the 1st of July, with all sorts of stuff that comes in their DMs and things that rumors that they're hearing, top accounts to follow, kind of stuff that's trending on TikTok, just really stuff that social media managers kind of are in the thick of all the time, but kind of some of the gossip and scandal behind it as well. So that's out now as a teaser, and you can get a link. There's a link to it in the newsletter, and it'll come out launched officially on July the 1st. And our great friends at Hootsuite are going to sponsor it, which is super cool. A few other bits. Apple and its emoji keyboard. Did you see this one this week, Martin?
Yeah. So this is really interesting. So the idea that Apple's emoji keyboard is reinforcing a lot of Western stereotypes, and this is an article that comes from Rest of World, which is a much needed publication. It presents perspectives on tech from around the world and stories about tech from around the world that we just don't hear enough in the kind of Western, you know, kind of English-speaking Western world of kind of North America and Western Europe. For example, iPhone users can now locate the heart eyes emoji by searching for love. But when people look for different geographic regions or countries, such as China or Africa, Apple's emoji keyboard sometimes spits back recommendations that reinforce Western stereotypes, like mud huts and things like that. So, interesting things that just wouldn't really think about necessarily unless you really dig into that stuff. And probably things that have kind of not really kind of been noticed inside Apple, because they just kind of get on and do it, and it's probably just done automatically. But clearly things that need fixing.
Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't be a week of talking about social media stuff if we didn't talk about verification. There's a couple of things on this. Adam Mosseri from Instagram's boss, said that he's done a video which was part of Creators Week, I think, and it's like some tips and advice and pointers around the whole verification and things. It's sold as kind of tips for verification, but for me, it feels like most of it's quite common sense. But I think for others that maybe have not gone through the process, it could be quite useful. And somebody just flagged me, and I tweeted out a moment ago that some people now on Instagram who are trying to request verification in app, it's giving them additional information they can put in there to kind of support their requests. Whereas before, it was just there, you could put your name, your ID attached to it, and the category that you sort of feel that you should be reason for being verified. Now you can attach additional information about who you think your audience is, and also links to specific pieces of content or news articles that support your claim that there's a reason why you should be verified, whatever, which is some additional options in the verification form. But I can't see that in some of the accounts that I've looked at that I manage. Random video I saw this week, I don't know if you saw that, 124 movie lines, quotes, clips from movies mashed up in a supercut to the song of You Spin Me Right Round.
I didn't actually watch this, yeah.
Yeah, there's a link at the bottom. It's the most random thing. But let's go into some of the more serious news. Twitter and its anti-abuse tools. There's a few bits have come out this week to do with sort of tackling the problem. Some of it's only kind of like ideas or mock-ups and things. But let's walk through those. What do you think of the ideas here? Should we go through them?
Yeah. So this was shared by a privacy engineer at Twitter this week. Just some mock-ups, ideas, such as the ability to unmention yourself from other people's tweets. So if somebody mentions you and you can look at the tweet and go, oh, I'd rather not be mentioned in that tweet because I'll get all these horrible replies. So you can pull yourself out of that tweet. And also alerts for if someone who you don't follow mentions you, especially useful if you're someone who gets a lot of abuse. That could be really useful. And also the ability to block people from mentioning you in tweets again if you pull your mention out of their tweets, or your ability to say, I never want this person to ever mention me on Twitter, and you can block them entirely from mentioning you. And normally when Twitter announces ideas around safety, people kind of roll their eyes and go, oh yeah, too little too late, come on, you should have done this years ago. Here I have seen nothing but praise for this idea. The only like people criticizing it are obvious troll accounts that will be a bit annoyed they can't troll people more easily. So if you click the quote tweet button for that thread and look through, it's so much praise for this idea. So I'd be very surprised if they don't do it, because it's something that's much needed.
I agree. I think there's a great feature ideas, and sometimes they seem like really obvious ideas, and why weren't they there before? But it's only obvious when you start actually playing around with it, and there's a million other things that people could want or Twitter could do. I think I've seen lots of positive sort of praise for this. I don't know if anyone here is listening in has got views on these features as being particularly good new features ahead of maybe other Twitter features that they could add, or whether these ones they would use. So if you've got a particular view on it, or you can see where the problems that maybe they're not seeing with these and these options for tweets, then it'd be interesting to hear what some of other people think. But by the way, in the emoji reactions, I'm always keen to hear what other people or see what other people think about some of these stories in terms of whether you find them interesting or it's a good thing or a bad thing. So if you use the emoji reactions that are in Twitter spaces, it's good for us all to see what everyone else is thinking at the same time.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
But let's talk about Facebook and its Oculus Quest ads sort of news. And so it's not particularly news that they're putting ads eventually into Oculus. That's kind of what they do with all their products, because it is an ads business, ad targeting business, and everything's funded by, for us to have it free, or seemingly that's what we're led to believe by the fact it's an ads platform. But there's lots of sort of could be potential like mines here to be stepped on by Facebook in terms of how they could play this and how cautious they need to be, and the because VR is going to be a much more intense experience than say the average kind of ads you'll see elsewhere, because of the way it's so immersive, and also the more data, the additional data that maybe we haven't been used to kind of giving up around our physical bodies if we're wearing smartwatches, which link to a VR headset, or if there's other information about your height or your weight or whatever. if you're doing fitness things in VR. So Facebook has come out and given some detail around how it plans to slowly introduce some test ads to support the developer, you know, developers and build an ecosystem out and things. And it's clearly not decided that actually, do you know what, businesses funded by ad products are not necessarily the best for us. We don't have a good track record. Maybe we should try and make money in other ways. But that they're going with the ads thing, which makes sense at the moment. What do you make of kind of the way they're handling the comms of this, and also in general about ads in VR?
Well, I think they're handling the comms well. They are giving people advance warning about this. They're testing it in a very limited number of just three games initially, and then they'll see how people respond to it. Andrew Bosworth, who we mention on this podcast a lot, said ads in VR will be different from ads elsewhere, and this is a space that will take time and people's feedback to get right, which is the right tone to set. And you can be kind of suspicious of Facebook all you like, but this is the right tone for them to set for this, rather than just going all in and saying we're opening to all the ads in all the games, because it is a different experience. And if ads are really in your face in a game, they're just going to spoil the experience of the game. And if you're looking around in a game for where's the ad targeted at me, then that's not going to go down well. And if they sell the same ad that you put on, you know, if you can go through your Facebook ads and you can put it into, I don't know, an Instagram story and a Facebook post and an Oculus game, then it's not necessarily going to work the same way. And I do worry slightly that a lot of ads will look kind of out of place in some kind of, you know, futuristic city setting, and you get an ad for a local lawnmower repairs business or whatever. So lots of questions about how it will work, but yeah, they were bound to do this all along, so we've just got to accept it, really, haven't we?
I don't know, just a flag of something I've been listening to this week. It's sort of tied into this. If anyone has never heard of or tuned into Benedict Evans' stuff, he's got a great blog and great newsletter, but also has a podcast which is called called Another Podcast. That's the name. And search for Benedict Evans. And it's really fascinating listening. They're talking this week about the all this stuff to do with Apple and its WWDC stuff and privacy. And they often will talk about stuff that ties in with some of the themes of social media and data privacy, and actually makes sense of it, because Benedict Evans is just, I could spend listening to for an hour, like, just know he's just an oracle of information, just sees five things down the line as to where this is all leading. So if you get a chance, look for Another Podcast on the Benedict Evans, and you'll have a good listen. I agree with, on all this stuff to do with the VR ads stuff. There's not a great deal here that to me feels like it's surprising or new, and this is the approach they seem to be taking with anything to do with their activities now. And this whole kind of like, we're going to just tell you everything up front as much as we can, and look, at least appear to be as transparent as we can be. There's probably a lot that we're not, obviously not knowing, and lots of stuff that other people would like to know more about, but I you can't really criticize them for certainly the way they're handling it.
The only other issue around it is the issue around Oculus being the dominant VR platform and not really being much competition. And if VR gaming can only really be done through a thing where you often have to buy the games and then you have to see ads in them as well, then it's not necessarily that great. Although ads are being inserted into, you know, AAA games on high-end consoles as well, so it's not unique to this. But there is perhaps an issue around there not being a lot of competition in the VR world at the moment. And certainly, there's been people flagging up that this week. But I do think that we're still a little way away from VR being the must-have thing in everyone's homes. And people like Sony, you know, there's supposedly a new PlayStation VR headset coming next year. There are companies out there that will be happy to jump on the VR bandwagon relatively quickly if it looks like it's really taking off. And, you're not going to get, for example, Nintendo games on Oculus or, the top PlayStation or Xbox exclusives on there. So there's still a lot of VR experiences outside the Oculus world as well.
Yeah, it's a massive place of competition over the coming years, and Facebook staking its claim in there and really heavily investing in it. And to be fair, all the tech companies are seeing the same or following that lead, because you know, they're all, like you say, designing some sort of AR, VR sort of products, and Apple is, and a few others. So yeah, it's a watch this space for more information as to where that goes. But in a change of pace, let's talk about LinkedIn and data, which doesn't sound a very exciting thing at all. Because LinkedIn isn't always the most exciting of the social platforms, and also data tends to be kind of fairly tiring as well. But this one's quite an important one, because this is to do with the issues of public data scraping, and companies or apps and tools that sort of feed into these platforms, and they're able to scrape any information you put on your public facing profiles and then use it for various other purposes. There was a company in the US actually that was called HiQ, who wanted to, or used trying to connect LinkedIn's platform to do this in an industrial level at volume for its own benefits. LinkedIn tried to block them or ban them from the platform. And then there was some appeals made because they weren't allowed to ban them or block them. But this looks like is it been overturned, or is it going to be overturned? Where are we with this?
Well, what the US Supreme Court have said is that the original decision by the court to say that LinkedIn couldn't stop them was wrong. So now it goes back to the court that made the decision to make another decision, to have another go at it, basically, as I understand it. So, this is a good sign, I think. In terms of something like LinkedIn, I think we all, if we put our LinkedIn profile data up in public, we all expect it to be publicly accessible. We don't expect other companies to then monetize that information, which is essentially what was happening here. It was taking all that information and turning it into a source of data about people. And so, yeah, I think this is it working as it should do. We don't expect our data to be scraped and used elsewhere, or I think most of us wouldn't. Where there is potentially problems with saying that unauthorized scraping can't happen is if you look at things like researchers and journalists who are looking at things like, I don't know, there's been people who've taken data from Facebook news feeds to assess the political spectrum of opinions people see on their news feeds and things like that, and they've been shut down by Facebook or whatever, and is that a good idea? Because people should be able to understand the way society works, and the way society works a lot of the time these days is through social media. So if we don't understand how people are communicating through social media via independent research, which often can involve scraping to collect lots of data, then that's a problem. But yeah, this has gone back down to the lower court to decide on the next way forward. I wouldn't be surprised if scraping finds its way back up to the US Supreme Court within the next few years, because this is an issue that will keep on going.
Yeah, I'm interested, again, one of those ones that, what do other people think who are listening to this know about in terms of what the rights and wrongs of your public profile data, which you put on there, being scraped in a more industrial way, or just the fact that maybe, well, to be honest, like you say, it's not the fact that it's public because you're happy with that. It's the volume that someone's doing it, and the incentives and motivations they've got for scraping that public data, and how that might be used in ways maybe that you wouldn't want them to be, or wouldn't expect them to be, and certainly not in that method. But yeah, if you've got thoughts on that, again, and shout out or give us a flag on the emojis. Let's talk some other bits and pieces. There's some other stories going on regarding Facebook. So a couple of bits that come to mind is the Oversight Board. They're now adding, off the back of a recommendation, they're now adding an exemption for satire to the community standards at Facebook. So that's another kind of win, I guess, for the Oversight Board in general. There's another piece this week in Engadget about Facebook's asked the Oversight Board to help shape its doxing policy, and is wanting advice on a new policy. It's for the first, the first time that they've done that. For some reason, I thought Facebook is a
more. Yeah, well, normally they're wanting input from the Oversight Board on cases that are disputed. Whereas this is like, we're shaping a new policy, let's get some help from the Oversight Board on it. So it's expanding the Oversight Board's scope, essentially. And it is interesting to see the Oversight Board from me, from my perspective, is actually working better than many people expected. A lot of people thought it would be kind of like a Facebook stooge, and it would be just doing, maybe not doing exactly what Mark Zuckerberg wanted all the time, but that it wouldn't really change much at Facebook necessarily, and it might make some difficult decisions for Facebook so it can shirk the responsibility, but it wouldn't really change much. But it does seem to be, you know, if you look at some of the actions it's taking as a result of its response to the Trump ban, I think they are clearly doing better at a lot of things than some people expected. There was a Wall Street Journal article this week: after Trump ban, Facebook oversight panel pushes for more say. So they're looking for more. The panel members are they're expanding, which we knew was going to happen anyway. They're looking for more members, but also they're looking to have more of a say over Facebook's future as well.
Yes, and also in Facebook news, there's a couple other things. They tested publicly their Clubhouse-style audio rooms feature this week. So they did a test. I think it was only if you're in the US you could access it, or would have seen sort of promotion of it within the app, where it said that Mark Zuckerberg, if you followed him, had scheduled an audio room, and then him and a couple of the other product team, but I think Boz was in that call as well, tested it out. I obviously, being in the UK, we weren't able to access the room, but more public sightings and more experimentation in a beta kind of testing way by them of their new audio rooms, which I'm sure will be out soon enough. They've rolled out Instagram and ads in Reels now globally. So if you you'll start seeing those sort of popping up in your Reels feed. Not really much more to say about that, other than there's going to be more ads on Instagram, isn't there? And more opportunities for advertisers. I guess it depends on which side of the fence you're falling on in terms of your view on that particular news story. There's a bit about the deep fake stuff. To be honest, I didn't have a chance to go into detailed reading of it, so I'm not going to try and pass comment. Did you have a read of this deep fake story, Martin, about what they've done with some AI tech?
No, not particularly. It's one of those.
Let's not talk uneducatedly about that then. So we're trying to pretend we know and we don't know. And also, Mark Zuckerberg's dropped out of Glassdoor's top 100 US CEOs for the first time since the list was conceived in 2013. So again, I don't think that's particularly shocking, given the news that Facebook gets and the coverage that he gets these days. Twitter-wise, so where are we now at this? This is feels like a weekly update now. Has Twitter done what India or Russia or any other country tells it has to do? Or has it said, screw you, we're not doing any of it? Where are we? That's more on that today.
Yeah, so Twitter has actually been punished in India by losing its legal protection, its safe harbor immunity from prosecution. So basically, if users say things that are illegal or the government doesn't like, I suppose, given the way the Indian government works on Twitter, then Twitter itself can be legally liable for it, and Twitter's senior executives can be legally liable for it. So this is obviously massively risky for Twitter. It puts them in a difficult position. And there's not a lot more we can say that we haven't said already, because what we've said in the past is that this is something that's going to get increasingly tricky for these companies. And at some point, they're going to have to decide, do we go out of these countries, or do we just keep appeasing authoritarian governments? So a difficult situation for Twitter, but it's just nudged on and become that little bit more difficult this week.
I think the most appropriate gift for this is the one which is kind of like escalating. It's kind of just getting worse. It's getting more serious. Another thing that, again, I think I'd seen before, read somewhere before, but maybe it just wasn't a known thing for most people, that Twitter is saying that follow accounts don't include users who have been asked to confirm their password or phone number but have yet to do so. And it's partly why sometimes you'll see fluctuations all the time of it going up and down if they've been challenged with a verification of their phone number, email, or if it's a new account and they haven't yet done it. That's kind of can be caused by these sorts of scenarios. TikTok's owner ByteDance has got a few quid. Their earnings in 2020 have surged 111%. Now they're with 1.9 billion users. I can't remember the figure. I'm just bringing it open. I did read this, and I can't remember the exact number of how much profit it was. Have you got it there open to you?
Their gross profit rose 93% to $19 billion, according to the CNBC report here. Yeah, and revenue was $34.3 billion, up 111% year on year.
Christ. I'm just scrolling down to see if I can see any more of the juicy stats that are in there, because there were some big numbers in there. But yeah, pretty much they're making lots of money and they're going to continue to do so for some time, I would imagine. Also quite interesting, it was surprising to hear that TikTok has managed to oust YouTube as the lead sponsor for VidCon, which was always very much a YouTube thing. And I don't know the detail of whether it was this something that they were outbid, or if this was more a case of they didn't really want to do it anymore, or what. But certainly TikTok is now, you know, got their name prize place in front of the VidCon stuff. So yeah, like you say, Martin, it's a sign of the times. I think it was pretty dominated in the last year at least, or even the last couple of years, with TikTok stars rather than YouTubers. So we are wondering how much of the event will be dominated with stuff to do with that versus just about YouTube and YouTubers as well.
Yeah, YouTube told Variety that it had thoughtfully worked through its VidCon plans months ago, with the top priority being the safety of creators, fans and employees amid the uncertainty of large gatherings and COVID-19 restrictions. So it seems to be saying that it maybe wanted a lower profile appearance at the at VidCon this year, but I don't know. I mean, who knows? Maybe they're just putting a brave face on it and they lost out. We don't know. But I think that it's certainly interesting to see TikTok on the rise in terms of its visibility as an official partner with VidCon, which is obviously a massive event every year in the online video and kind of influencer worlds.
Yeah. And in other YouTube related news, there's a ban now on Masterhead ads relating to alcohol, gambling, politics, and elections. And there's a few extra rules, and less options for the big advertisers who want to use those big spots. So it's not really directly related to social in the way we normally talk about it. But BuzzFeed is joining in this whole like rewarding people for creating content or basically trying to get content on the cheap is what I saw it as in terms of the numbers, because they're offering, the headline is kind of along the lines of up to $10,000 for viral posts that you know end up being written in the community section and be, you know, put on BuzzFeed. But they pull the levers there in terms of content anyway, in terms of where they want to get more visibility on something. But also there is a tiered approach to this, and there's going to be a lot of content that will be perfectly good at, you know, supplying them with lovely page views and therefore, you know, making their advertisers very happy, and it will cost them very little to do it, far less than hiring a decent writer or journalist or whatever to churn out good content. They're buying on the cheap. Is my assessment off there, or is that, would you agree?
Yeah, it's worth reading in the newsletter just below that. We've got the Discourse blog post about it, which says BuzzFeed's community scam is a nightmare come true. And yeah, it's basically saying it's asking writers to pay for very little to create great content for very little money. And yeah, for 150,000 to 499,999 page views, you get $150, which, you know, I was getting more than that when I was freelancing. When I first started at the Next Web over 10 years ago, I was getting more than that for 1,000 page views. So it's like,
What's the page view number for $10,000? I can't remember what the threshold
you
was.
Need, 4 million plus.
4 million page views to get your 10 grand.
Yeah. And the thing is, I mean, I think a lot of people forget that BuzzFeed is like a community platform, and you can actually post to it without being staff there. And, you know, it's not something that a lot of people do, I don't think. But so they're obviously just trying to cash in on this whole idea of creators being paid money by saying, hey, look, you can create for money here. But when you're also a professional journalistic enterprise that is paying salaries to actual journalists to create content alongside that, it does look opportunistic. And especially at the low end, it's it reeks of exploitation, sadly.
Yeah, a couple of other bits of news as well. Snapchat's removed the speed filter, which is one to kind of give you an incentive to go off and feel that you're in need for speed game or something, or Fast and Furious. And I think they've seen that there's lots of issues with it. NPR have got a story, and I only caught this story this morning, so I've skim read sort of the headlines, but certainly that's been removed. And there's all sorts of bits in NPR's piece about the reasons and why falls for all of that. And Chrissy Teigen has apologized for bullying people online, which which considering that that was one of the reasons why I think she decided to come off of Twitter, because of people trolling her and all that sort of stuff. There's been a couple of news stories now where she's felt the need to apologize, or has done maybe what some might say is the same sort of behavior she was, saying was wrong. So anyway, there's been some apology from her, and BBC News covered it, as did a few others. I'm just going to scroll through some of the other bits we've got in here. There's a few tools and useful features. There's a new smart crop feature now for videos through the Creator Studio tool that Facebook provides everyone who wants to access it. So have a look at that. It's in social media to take the details, but it sort of tries to use some tech it's got to crop it in the right way for the bit of the video that's going to be the most engaging and get the bits that need to be seen. So it could be a good time saver and also boost your performance in videos on the platform. The information, they've also put out a nice graphic that is worth looking at, which is a neat summary of all the different platforms that are doing audio or doing some sort of audio features. So if you have a look again in the newsletter for that, you'll find a nice handy summary of it. Chris Messina put out a tweet this week about a Google recapture sort of thing for verification that we all get. And on the picture, it's select all the squares that contain a bicycle. And then the squares have got a picture of a bike which has got flowers over it by a roadside, which is clearly someone's tribute to someone who's died. And so somehow Capture's decided to have a little dark mode. It's a very, very dark capture for you to be suddenly confronted with. So anyway, it's both amusing but also quite sad. You never know. Yeah. Is that one you can laugh at or not laugh at?
Yeah, it's kind of dark humor, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Just the perils of automation.
Absolutely. I'll just run through some of the other quick things, like small features that seem to be being tested or spotted are quite useful to people that might be coming soon. And then we'll have a look at the weekend reads and wrap up to today's and see what we've got. So somebody's searched and says now you can search within the Facebook News. So you can search the headlines within the news section of the app. So for those who've got access to the Facebook News feature, that's an additional function you couldn't do before. Also, Instagram has launched support for group fundraisers, which is again for certain types of organization or charities. It's going to be very useful, and apparently they're working on a new pastel palette brush with lots of nice soft colors that's been spotted, which could be good for, I guess, depending if you've got what sort of products you're trying to sell or what kind of colors you like. Close Friends seems to be maybe coming up for a change, because at the moment there's been a couple of variations of whether it's going to be renamed as Selected Followers or Private Post or something that doesn't just say Close Friends, which I suppose is probably more fitting, because although that feels more of a friendly kind of way of calling it, it's not necessarily friends, close friends you want to show it to. There could be all sorts of reasons why you limit it to a set number of people. So maybe they wanted to be a bit more inclusive of other ways that people are using that feature. So that might be changing soon. And they're also working on a new sticker for called the Collaborative Posts and a co-author for posts. So that should be interesting as well. And IGTV has got a live video tab in it now, which for a long time it hasn't had at all. Scroll down for some of Twitter ones. They're still working on a reactions picker. So you might soon be able to put, a reaction emoji against all the tweets that you want to dunk, I guess. But that might be on its way as well. Just getting any other ones that are quite worth looking about? No, I think those are the main ones. And Snapchat's also working on ability to share your live location with friends, and also reactions to messages, like emoji reactions to messages. So there's a ton more in there of things that are very new that are not reported in the news that you might find interesting. But weekend reads, what has been your highlight from these this week, Martin?
So I really enjoyed Ed Zitron's piece. Ed's Substack, Where's Your Ed At, is well worth subscribing to if you like kind of looking into kind of culture, online culture, in a kind of, the darker side of online culture and how media works and all of that. So his piece this week was Newsrooms Need to Treat Online Coordinated Online Attacks on Reporters Like Propaganda and Act Like They're at War. So that's more journalism than it is social media, but it's got a social media aspect to it, because obviously we're talking about online social media attacks on journalists. But this is how newsrooms should respond, because all too often they kind of the bosses kind of look at this these complaints against one of their journalists and go, oh, well, no, the journalist did wrong. We'll fire the journalist or reprimand the journalist or something. When actually, they just need to learn how Gamergate worked and how that all went off and how it was all kind of coordinated attacks on people. And, you know, years later, a lot of these managers in media haven't learned that, and they really need to.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is a good piece. I have only started that earlier on before this session, actually, so I'm going to need to finish that article off. But there's some other good ones in there. And there's a piece by The Verge, which is attending an inside the in real life clubhouse dinner party, which is a great read. It's a good long read to take a look at. And there's also, what was the other one I just scrolled down that I read that's really good? Oh, there's, I think it's on CNET. Let me check. Oh, no, Vox. The problem with Facebook's attempt to be more like Nextdoor. And this is talking about kind of the kind of making an admins and community people more in charge of setting the rules for those communities and kind of moderation and things and the risks and that brings with it and how that's affected and platforms like Nextdoor, and maybe that is not a good way to go. So that's worth a read on Vox if you get a chance. So a nice read about on the Guardian about this incident with Coca-Cola and Ronaldo, you know, pushed the soft drinks away and how much that kind of tarnished one of the lead sponsors of these events and him being so influential as well, particularly on Instagram, like $1 million of postage charges or something now. So The Guardian talks a bit about, you know, in this age of social media and big, powerful influencers and sponsors and things, and how this can play out not in the favour of the brands, more in the favour of the influencer. Those are all great reads. I think that is it. Is there anything else we haven't covered?
No, I think we are wrapped up for the week. Normally what happens round about now is some massive social media news breaks and we just miss it by minutes, but maybe that won't happen today.
No, I think we're all right. We're all safe. So, yeah, thank you to everybody for joining us. This has been recorded and we will put it out as a podcast in the Spacecasts feed for those who want to play it back and they forget something that we talked about and want to kind of go back to it. Be available probably today, tomorrow, something like that, maybe. If you have a chance to check out the Diary of a Social Media Manager, a new newsletter, which you'll find linked to all over the place at the start of my Geek Out newsletter and across my social feed, or just search the Diary of a Social Media Manager on Twitter. It's worth a read, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun when it comes out officially on the 1st of July. Right, that's my plug done. I'm going to off now because it's the footy tonight, isn't it? It's England, Scotland, 8 o'clock UK time. So this is where my family becomes at war with each other because we have different nationalities and everything else. So are you off to watch it?
Yeah, I'm one of these rare people who doesn't actually have any interest in football. But if it's an England game, I give it a go. So, I might cast an eye over it.
Oh, well, awesome stuff. Have a great weekend, everybody. And thanks for joining us. And I'll chat to you again same time, same place next week.